what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Rosie is like in the middle of a multi-week, multi-month investigation out of his own curiosity about the water supply of Arizona. I've told y'all for a long time that I think the Water Use It Wisely program, we have enough water to use, not enough to waste, is an excellent motto. People ask me as I travel the country, how many more people can Arizona support? You know, aren't y'all going to run out of water? I think it's interesting to discover that we currently, with 6 million people in the state, use the same amount of water as we were using in the 1950s with a million people in the state. Not only has our consumption gone down per capita, but it's gone down very well. So conservation is a big part of what our strategies are. I picture guys like Mr. Ted Cook walking around the office all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, thinking, I hope it rains, I hope it rains, I hope it rains. But hope's just not a good strategy, right?
Hope is not a plan, right?
You can't just hope for that rain upstream to make your job easier. What y'all do is so complicated. You just mentioned it casually, the loss of evaporation. I mean, that's a million acre feet a year, 600,000 acre feet a year?
In the lower basin, yes, about 600,000 acre feet a year evaporates from Lake Mead all by itself. That's 6 feet.
And that's a lot of water for a lot of people.
It is. But there's no practical way to prevent that from happening. There isn't.
But you got to count. You got to include it in your calculations,
right? You have to account for it.
Well, we've got all the water in the globe. Think of all the water, and you would think that with how much of the surface of the Earth is covered in water? 70%. You would think with that much water, that would be the last thing we'd ever have to worry about. But only 3%. Of that water is fresh. And 2/3 of that is locked up in the polar cap and the glaciers. So we have 1/3 of 1% of all the water. We have basically 1% of all the water on the globe is readily usable for consumption. That's right. Pretty incredible.
It is. When you think about what mankind has done with that small percentage, That's readily available.
1%.
And then in some places, like where we live in the desert, it's even less accessible.
Yeah. So y'all have to take a look at how far upstream are y'all looking and collecting data to calculate whether or not, and who's involved in the decision as to whether we're going to activate Tier 1 rationing or not?
The activation of a shortage, Tier 1 would be the first stage. If Lake Mead reaches predetermined levels, then that would trigger these various tiers of shortages. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation makes that determination.
They make that call.
And you
they
said Tier 1 call. Is pretty significant. Tier 1 sounds like something little, but it's really a big deal.
Tier 1 is a big deal. If we reach Tier 1, for those who pay attention to the numbers, if Lake Mead declines to an elevation of 1,075 feet, then under the rules that exist, then the Secretary of the Interior would declare a shortage, and Arizona would get a 320,000 acre feet. Nobody probably realizes what that is, but it's about 1/5 of the CAP supply coming into Arizona would be cut if that happens.
And would the average homeowner feel that?
The average homeowner would not. That first tier of shortage would mostly go to our agricultural customers. They're important customers too. That would be a hardship for them.
They're important to a lot of people as well.
They are. But the average homeowner wouldn't notice, which makes it more difficult to communicate what are the implications of having a Tier 1 shortage if the average person sitting in their home with their tap still comes on when they turn it.
Now, when you turn your tap on at the Colorado River near Parker,
right?
Okay, when you turn that tap on and fill your canal,
right,
how many people are you anticipating serving with that water?
Well, since every drop of water that we deliver goes through somebody else before it gets to the end user, we really don't count end users.
Okay.
Per se. But our service area, which is three counties, Maricopa County, Pinal County, and Pima County, there's more than 5 million people that live there. And aside from the economic impact that we have on them from being able to live in a place like this that has a plentiful water supply, we've got over 50 cities and towns and private water companies that we supply. We've got 12 Indian tribes. We've got 17 or 18 agricultural districts. It's a lot of people.
I have property on the New Mexico border up in the high country, and I have a little artesian spring that comes across my pasture. And so when I bought the property, I thought, oh, man, wouldn't this be great to put a little dam here and stock some bluegills in there for the grandkids and stuff. And as I was developing my plans, I went into planning and zoning at St. John's, and they said, well, you'll have to go talk to the Akchen Indians at Sacatone because that's their water.
That's right.
That like was you what said, was... every drop is spoken for.
Everything belongs to somebody already.
Yeah, so I got Mr. Brown, a water attorney out of Springerville, and sat down and talked to him. He said, there's probably no chance ever you could ever do anything with that water other than just let it keep running across your meadow.
Well, just having running water right. is a real treat. Yeah. It's real entertainment watching water
you
run.
To, you get to borrow it for a few minutes as it goes to who it belongs to. Yeah.
Can't divert it. I can use it as long as it's running across the surface of my water or my ground, but that's it. I can't do anything else with it. So that was kind of my introductory lesson into how complicated water law really is.
It is. Well, we call on the Colorado River, we refer to it as the law of the river. And it's a broad term because it doesn't just mean a statute that's been passed by Congress or a legislature. It means all the contracts and practices and previous use regimens. All those things all conglomerated together is this law of the river. And there are very few experts that understand all of it. I'm not one of them.
How many people do you think are involved in a decision like that? It's probably hundreds of people, right?
It potentially could be hundreds of people, depending on the impact of the decision that needs to be made. But it's a lot of folks.
It's a lot of folks. We're talking about a lot of folks. We're talking about you, and we're talking about your house, and we're talking about what I consider the most underappreciated commodity on the planet, how precious and valuable it is. Let's talk more about water when we get back.